let's move on to the Holy Spirit. Now, from the witness standpoint, the Holy Spirit is not part of the Godhead. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit does not even have personality. It is not a personage. It is a force. You could equate it to a view of magic, or if you've ever watched a movie, a fantasy movie or whatnot, with a sorcerer or a magician or whatnot, and he performs some feat, and you visualize some sort of force that he uses. It goes from him to whatever object he's operating on, and that's his magic, that's his force. Well, this is the witness view of the Holy Spirit, that it is God's impersonal force, his magic, so to speak, that he uses to perform his miracles and such. As a matter of fact, at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, if you read that in your translations, you'll see that it talks about the Spirit of God moving upon the earth. But here in the New World Translation, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth proved to be formless and waste, and that there was darkness upon the surface of the watery deep." And where you would see, "And God's Spirit moved upon," it says, "And God's active force was moving to and fro over the surface of the waters." See, that's what the Holy Spirit is to the witnesses. It is simply God's active force. In other texts, the Holy Spirit isn't even capitalized, and the definite article has been withdrawn. So it doesn't say the Holy Spirit, it says Holy Spirit. I'll give you a couple examples of this, and I'll also read to you something the society has made on these, statements they've made on these. Let's first look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, this is the way it's stated in the New World Translation in regards to the reference to the Holy Spirit. It says, "They all became filled with Holy Spirit." And Holy Spirit is not capitalized. Okay, they all became filled with Holy Spirit. Now, this is what the Watchtower's 1982 book, "You Can Live Forever in a Paradise Earth," says about it. Quote, "They all became filled with Holy Spirit." Were they filled with a person? No, but they were filled with God's active force. Thus, the facts make clear that the Trinity is not a Bible teaching. How could the Holy Spirit be a person when it filled about 120 disciples at the same time? Very simplistic reasoning, isn't it? Of course, that would negate a lot of scriptures. How about when Paul refers to himself as being poured out? "I am being poured out," Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. "I am already being poured out," 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. If he can be poured out, he can hardly be considered a person, can he? Well, what about the references to Jesus, like at Psalms chapter 22, where it says, "Like water, I have been poured out." Well, if Jesus can be poured out like water, then he can't be a person, can he? Or are we going to give this reasoning any credence? Certainly not. They do basically the same thing at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And I'll read to you what their publications have to say about this too. John the Baptist said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He's making reference to Jesus. And here they do have the definite article, and here they do have the Holy Spirit capitalized. Okay, but this is what their 1982 book, the same book, "You Can Live Forever in a Paradise on Earth," has to say about that statement. John the Baptizer said that Jesus would baptize with Holy Spirit, even as John had been baptizing with water. Hence, in the same way that water is not a person, Holy Spirit is not a person. Once again, that same type of reasoning. Okay? And once again, if you succumb to that reasoning, if you lend it your ear and give it credence, then you're going to have problems with a lot of scriptures. Like at Romans chapter 6, 3, where it talks about those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Well, in the same way that death isn't a person, Jesus Christ cannot be a person if we use this parallel argument. Or Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, where it talks about being clothed with Christ. Well, since and baptized into Christ, he can't be a person if you use that parallel argument. Certainly, we can recognize that this isn't logic at its best. And there's no reason to pay much attention to it. Contrary to what the witnesses had to say about the Holy Spirit and how they try to confine it to being God's active force and having no personality, the Bible actually has much to say about the personality of the Holy Spirit. In text, you will find that the Holy Spirit feels hurt, just like a person would. You can look that up in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10, if you want to check on that. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he repeats what he hears, just like a person would. John chapter 16, verse 13. He bears witness. John chapter 15, verse 26. He speaks. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. He intercedes. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. And he lives in us like a God in a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. You're probably familiar with that passage. Now, contrary to what the witnesses have to say about the non-entity of the Holy Spirit, the Bible very much says otherwise. There's a good little tract that we have in our library, as a matter of fact, on the Holy Spirit. This is it. God, the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't even use the same references that I was speaking of in trying to address the issue of the personality of the Holy Spirit. It uses a lot of other ones. And it makes a very fine case for the Godhead and the personality of the Holy Spirit. If you plan on talking to a witness, you might want to pick one of these up out of our library. Okay? Well, that pretty much concludes what we had to say about the witness view of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and how that view differs so much from ours. And it also addresses their view of the crucifixion. And next week will be the last lesson we're going to have on the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I hope to cover at that time various things that stand out in society about witness practices, such as their abstaining from blood transfusions. You're probably aware of that. And how they don't observe holidays, particularly birthdays and such. And how they will not have any part in military activities or any governmental activities, for that matter. You can even be disfellowshipped from their organization for voting. Okay. And we'll address these issues last next week. Okay. You have any questions about the lesson tonight?